Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
My name's Chad.
This is Brodor.
This is Bob.
Not Bab. We agreed it was Bab.
Now,
Dan said any word I use would be the word we would use, and I used Bob.
That's true. All right. So
we set up all of our Bab.
Hold
jokes.
On. Let me set some other things up here. First of all, Bob is not just any Bob. Bob is Brodor the Elder. Bob is Mike Brodor, who's the guy on the show usually. It's his older brother. And so he was telling me that he has some stories about Brodor. And so we decided to bring him on the episode to tell those stories. We have not one, but two Brodors, so this is going to go probably wildly off the ranch. If you are offended by anything that's
I was thinking about this today when I was driving.
We haven't done the warning yet.
Yeah,
at least let it warn the people about.
At least let me get through the viewer discretion as advised before you start dropping
Give them a moment to hit stop.
Yes. So if you are offendable by anything or accompanied by young children or whatever, this is your fair warning to jump off. Now, the reason I opted to do this for this episode is not only because I think for some of us this is going to be a lot of fun, but also because I've been out of the country for about a week and a half, and it was a fun trip, had a lot of great times.
A lot of cocaine.
Holy crap, is traveling to and from the place incredibly tiring.
Well, you look exhausted. I was a little concerned at dinner tonight because you looked I'm like, is he going to make it?
My trip back on Sunday, I had to get up about 7:30 in the morning, and then I was at the airport from about 10 a.m. until about, once I finally got off the plane, 10 p.m. Came home, unpacked, went to sleep, got up the next morning, went to work. So I've had no recovery time. I'm not sure I could give a serious topic right now if I wanted to. All right, so I have a leader little thing here, because this is all bonus episode material, and then I'm going to set the Brodors loose on each other. But we were talking about something prior to recording that has...
No, we can't tell that story.
No, not that story. not that story. So I was telling the story about there was something that came up in the news today. It was trending in general pop culture news, was also appearing all over social media, which is Susan Sarandon's daughter.
Who is Susan Sarandon?
Remember
who
that
is she in?
I've obviously
heard the name. Oh,
she was that ugly dude in Thelma and Louise. not the dude that banged Brad Pitt, but the other ugly dude that was in the car that went over the cliff.
Oh man.
You were warned.
I do know who you're talking about now. Okay.
With the big eyes, it looks like somebody hit her in the back of the head with a 2x4 and her eyes almost came out. Yeah, that's Susan Sarandon. But she used to bang Tim Robbins.
Susan Sarandon has a daughter named Ava. Okay, and I'll link like a Wikipedia thing on or something in the show notes if you want to just figure out who this is. And
you said the ugly dude, Thelma Louise. I'm like, Brad Pitt's not ugly. Oh.
And Ava she's an attractive girl. Okay. I don't know how old she is, but she's married to some dude. I don't even know the guy's name. And they've got a kid together or something like that. Okay. But because both of them are entertainment, they do a lot of traveling. And so they have a nanny that comes and watches their kid. What made it to the news was this guy decided to do what nobody else does in the situation, which is he made the right choice. Okay.
He didn't bang the nanny?
Exactly.
Oh,
the nanny sent him a text message that she claims was for someone else. But it was basically like, oh, you wouldn't believe how hot my boss is. I wonder if he's into women like me. It comes across very much like fishing, right? Like she's trying to see if he would go for it or not. And rather than do the scumbag thing that a lot of people in Hollywood do, he took it to Ava and said, hey, I'm not going to cheat on you. This is what's going on. And he fired the nanny. First thought in my mind was, my hat is off to this person. In an age of so much, you know, infidelity and stupidity and broken families and whatever, my hat is immediately off to someone who chose to do the right thing. But just because I have a cynical and broken mind, my second thought was, and a year from now, it's going to come out that she's f***ing the pool boy anyway.
That's hilarious. Yeah, don't hire a hot nanny.
So, Brodor the Elder, or Bob, or whatever it is we're calling you now, take your best shot at your brother.
Okay, well, I hope I don't disappoint. First of all, I'm really excited to talk to his real friends. So that is just amazing.
Oh, now see, that is low.
we'll explain that one in a minute. But I got to say, he's said so many things about me on the show that are either out of context or inappropriate. And the most important one is he was talking about our incubator, which other people might refer to as a mother, but she does not deserve that title. So I call her the incubator. So he was talking about our incubator, and he told the story about how I hit her, but I don't think he fully described how. When I hit her, she was wailing on him, right? Like, she was choking him, marking him up. I mean, he was in danger of injury, and this was nothing new, right? I mean, up until recently, I could find fingernail scars on my arm from the dig-ins, I mean, this was a real deal. And so, yes, I did hit a woman, right, at the age of 17, but it wasn't like I beat up girls because I think it's awesome. I hit a woman because
that doesn't occur until your 20s or 30s.
This adult woman was beating on a child who happened to be my brother, who I love very much. So I thought that was important to lay out there.
Speaking of laying out there, so did you put her through a wall?
I did. I put a woman-sized hole in the drywall, literally pushed her basically between the studs so that the drywall in my room, because it wasn't like immediate. Like, I went in there and I forget what he said, but it was basically like, what the hell are you hitting him for, right? So she comes at me like a bat out of hell. And I'd had enough. And so by that point, we were in the doorway of my room, and I did, yes, push her through the wall on my side to the point where the drywall was dust, right? I mean, it just fell away, and there was a pile of drywall. And imprinted, like, pushed out into Michael's room, the drywall in his room. I mean, yeah, I pushed her through a wall.
So it's like this is Looney Tunes.
Yes. Multi-room fight.
And I guess, so, obviously, I did not make it very clear. Because she was hitting me because our sister was gone and wasn't at home.
Yeah.
And Jennifer needed a ride from the mall, and my mom didn't want to go pick her up, and I was the only thing around to hit.
Yeah, exactly.
So she was wailing on me pretty hard, and that's when Bob came home.
Yeah. Mm. It's totally true. Yeah, and that had been going on since, she was 2 and I was 8, or I was 5, and she got a pair of scissors and cut her hair, right? The incubator had been beating us for things other people did since before, Broder was born. It was just a terrible, yeah. So that's the story of me hitting the woman. It wasn't just like, ooh, dude, cool, dad beat up his, elder beat up his mom, right? Awesome. No, not like that.
That's not what I said. You go back and listen to this episode.
Brodo was like, I really love my mom. She's such a sweet, sweet woman. And then Bob came along with his fist of rage.
Had a temper problem, which, fair enough. Yeah, I did. Maybe it's still too, but...
He studied atop a mountain for years for this moment, yeah. And he came down and delivered the perfect 5-point Buddha palm and blew her through a wall.
Yeah.
No, but I did put her through a wall. That's 100% true.
All right. Yeah. So as hilarious as child abuse is...
Well, it gets funnier. I've got more. Go on.
Okay, but I have a specific question because Brodor the Younger was saying something at dinner that I have to hear the story behind. He can't eat green bean casserole anymore.
So I don't know if Bob's going to have any comment about this, but literally, I mean,
I can't either.
So there you go. Go right ahead. The floor is yours.
Brodor the Elder, what is it with green bean casserole?
Well, the incubator used to make it, and it was one of those things that she did. And Brodor may have a better angle on it than I do because I ran as soon as I could. I got out of there. Like, as soon as I had friends with the car, I was gone. As soon as I could get a car, I was gone, right? Which is probably why I don't have as many embarrassing stories that you would want because other than this one time, I mean, I left him on his own, right? I got to get out of here. And it was just every brodeur for themselves, right? Armin divorced her and ran for his life. My sister just locked herself in the room or ran off with her boyfriend. And there's my poor brother there getting wailed. It was rough. So, but yeah, no, it was her signature thing that she made, that and chicken and orange, and it was just, gross canned green beans and a gross Campbell soup, cream of mushroom soup, just bad with crappy fake bacon bits. It was awful, and it reminds me of child abuse.
So here's
the orange chicken though. So like Panda,
that's amazing.
Does like Panda Express
and chicken and orange
is a whole different. Yeah,
it's a different thing. It's chicken and orange sauce. It's another Campbell soup. It's like take that concentrated frozen orange juice, you know, gloop, that orange juice gelatin, you know, and you put that in with some sort of Campbell soup and you cook some chicken breast in it. It's actually really good, but
not only
it's amazing.
Not only did she abuse you guys, which was, I guess, bad.
Yeah.
She abused food, and that just
that stinks.
To the quick. From the guy whose mom microwaves asparagus.
Oh my God. Worse. She microwaves artichokes.
Oh.
She will take an artichoke. Now, this is child abuse. My parents, they sent me to space camp. That's how much they love me. But
artichokes.
She cut the top off of an artichoke. She did this almost daily. And then she would, you know how you take the bottoms of it? That's what they put in the salad. But no, she would eat the leaves off of them, too. The thick, hard leaves. I don't know.
You scrape off the inner lining of the leaf.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what she would do is she'd put like cooking oil on it, not olive oil or something nice. She would put like cooking oil on it and then put it in the microwave for like 10 minutes. I know it was the 80s. They didn't have very powerful microwaves and it was awful. And so it would be like this artichoke gas bomb that would go off. Ugh. And it's just like, you know, the UN Human Rights Commission would come sniffing around. It was just terrible.
So let me weigh in on green bean casserole, because here are the two things about it that are horrible. Everything that Bob said about the child abuse, but then you'd have to eat it, right?
Yeah.
So not only did I find it repellent, because it looks like the worst thing that has ever come out of my nose. I mean, the longest, crustiest, stringiest, like those boogers you pull out and you think you're bringing brain with it, right? It looks like a big dish of that.
Yes.
And then if you don't eat it, you get your ass whooped.
Yeah.
Nah, man, it's not for me.
If you do eat it, you're still getting your ass whooped. So,
oh, got it. I'm starting to gag just thinking about the texture of this crunchy booger.
It was horrible.
Okay, so you said you could one up this or several up this Brodor the Elder. So go.
Okay, so here's a good one. So I went to school in O'Fallon. I went to St. Dominic High School, right? And obviously, you know, coming from this background and being a D&D guy, right? I mean, I was awkward and nerdy and the whole bit, right? So I'm in homeroom, and I'm sitting in front of this girl. I won't say her name. I have this huge crush on, right? And I don't know, maybe it would happen, maybe it wouldn't. I mean, I did okay in high school. I didn't do great, did better in college. But, you know, I come from this background, and I'm the new kid in the school. We just moved because, you know, they'd lost the jobs again, and they couldn't afford the house. We had to move to someplace cheaper, which at the time was O'Fallon, and this was in the 80s. And so there's this girl in homeroom, and she sits right next to me, and we kind of talk a little bit, and her friend kind of talk a little bit. And then I come in one day with this huge mark on my neck, right? This huge bruise on my neck. And they start making jokes about, oh, what'd you do? Burn yourself with the curling iron? Ha, 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 right? They assume it's a hickey from some girl, right? Which it was not. And so, of course, it never happens. Like, any interest that could have been there is gone, and, you know, we were friends later, but it never happened, right? What that bruise was from the incubator choking me. Right, like she literally had choked me to the point where there were bruises on my neck, and the girl I had a crush on thought there were hickeys from another girl. How do you tell her that? How do you say, no, it's not like that. My mom tried to kill me. You know, I wouldn't kiss another girl at all. My mom tried to kill me, right? So that's a pretty good one.
You get the sympathy vote.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking here. Is why didn't you go for the sympathy thing?
Yeah.
Don't let him fool you, because life is competition, right? And genetics is competition. The first child always gets the best of everything.
Yeah.
They're taller, they're better looking, they're smarter. You know what I got? I got the bottom of the barrel. I got vulgarity. Like, if you want somebody to talk about green bean casserole being like that nasty long booger that feels like you're pulling out your brain, that's what I got.
Yeah.
Bob was young. He was handsome. You should have... Oh, my God.
So, I love that. Was handsome. Yeah. Was young. Was handsome.
He's Brodor the Elder. So is the sister between you guys an age?
Yeah, okay. Right.
He adopted one. Yeah.
So is she literally adopted?
No, but she's short. She's blonde. She doesn't look like the rest of us. So we used to tell her that she was adopted.
Yeah, but she looks just like my middle kid. I mean, she looks exactly like my middle son. So, I mean, there's some sort of, and she also looks exactly like my youngest uncle, who we're very close with. So, I mean, there's something there biologically, although I won't get into details on this on the mic, but there certainly is reason to wonder if we all share paternity. I mean, that's just yet another one of the glorious abuses that was rained down by the delight. Oh, she used to, we used to live out in Salem, which is the one story I wanted to tell that's not abusive. And, you know, near Rolla, right? And we had a babysitter there. I was a young man, right? I was prepubescent, but I knew enough to know this chick was hot. Well, babysitter, obviously. Well, I remember vividly, and this happened more than once, the incubator and the babysitter smoking joints in our kitchen before the incubator would leave us home with the babysitter. Oh, yeah, that happened.
That's fair.
It's amazing. It's mellow out. It's really good. It's really good.
So you played D&D. You were a geeky kid.
Yeah.
Did you introduce your brother to geekiness?
Are you kidding? Games? Whatever he did, I wanted to do, except for the mullet, because that was a mistake. It was fucking tragic.
I can't deny that I carried it into like 91. Maybe.
Wow. You were like, it's coming back any minute.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I got into gaming because of Bob, because I pretty much wanted to do, if it was music he was into, I wanted to be into it. If it was games, he was into.
What's your age difference?
6 years.
6 years.
6 years? Yeah. Oh, okay.
You never dated any of his exes, did you?
No, but boy, I tell you what, man.
I had a crush on one of them, yeah.
Many a tube sock on Hot Tina.
Yeah, she may listen to this, by the way, but, you know, whatever. As far as I know, she still games, and we follow each other on Facebook. So, yeah, she may listen to this.
That's amazing. Yeah. If there is one thing I don't have, it's shame.
Yeah, God knows. One week.
Well, if we have to have her on the show for a third perspective, then that's where we'll go.
But no, I'll let Bob tell you how he got started. But yeah, I definitely got into it. I remember my very first D&D experience. But Bob, you go ahead.
There are two other things I wanted to correct. One was the whole thing about the incubator and me putting her through a wall, that all started with him referring to me as a younger brother would, even if it's inappropriate and even inaccurate or in misplaced, say it that way, as a figure of admiration or whatever, right? And I talked to him on the phone not long after that, and I was like, look, if you're going to tell a story on the mics about something I did that was awesome and heroic and you look up to, why don't you talk about the time that you almost drowned and I saved you? Because that happened, right? So when we lived out in Salem, we get on, if you know, the current river down there, right, which is very well named. I mean, it's a dangerous-ass river. So, you know, Armand had this badass CJ7 Jeep, and some of his buddies had CJ5s and CJ7s, and we would, you know, all get in, little kids and the adults, and they'd drive out to the current river, right, and we'd find a little swimming hole, and there'd be a cottonmouth in it and that kind of thing, right? And, one time the current river took Broder away. It took him, and he was gone, and he was about to be...
This one is mine.
He was about to be gone, 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 right? And somehow I managed to grab him, and I don't know if you remember this, because I was young, Broder, so you may have been really young, but you were, like, on my shoulders, and I was pretty much underwater, and there was an overhanging tree sticking out. This is, I don't care if people believe, this is as true can be. There was an overhanging tree, like, had fallen over that was sticking out, and my thinking was, I'm going to hook you on it, and then whatever happens, happens. And that's it, right? This is it. This is my life. I'm going to hang my brother on this log, and then I'm gone. And I don't remember E.J. Malone, who's this, I said his name, I know it's awful, but he's probably gone. He certainly won't hear this. He was this big, you know, fat, beer-gutted buddy of Armin's, right? And all of a sudden, like, he just like this huge, you know, storm giant. It's just, boom, 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 splashed
no
through the river.
No river gods, these just, are mine.
And he just scoops us up. It was like he scooped me up, like, the back of my neck, like I was a dog, you know? Like, he just, boom, just pulled us both right out of the river just before it was, like, that point of no return. Because, I mean, at least one of us would have been a goner. Maybe both. It was rough. So I was like, you know, if you're going to tell a story about looking up to me, here it is, man. Full on life-saving heroics. No, it doesn't tell that story.
No child abuse.
Yeah, no.
All heroics, self-sacrifice. Yeah. Yeah. No, I did like the mother beating one better.
So it's funny you say that, because I do remember that. But the thing that I remember most vividly is that tree.
Yeah, you remember the
tree. And I know that's weird. I remember that tree more than, I mean, I remember all of it happening, except for the E.J. Malone part, but I certainly remember that tree.
I remember the tree, and I remember the E.J. I can see E.J. Malone in my memory as well as I see anything, right? And as we've discussed, I mean, you wouldn't be surprised to hear that my childhood memories are spotty, right? I mean, there are plenty of long stretches of, like, I don't think I remember fourth grade at all, right? Sixth grade, I sort of remember. You know, I mean, did I go to fifth grade? I couldn't tell you. But that moment of E.J. Malone stomping through the river, man, that's one of those images, you know, you want to tie it back to gaming. I mean, that's the sort of images that, you know, I draw on when I GM, right? And I'm trying to, that's the kind of thing that comes in and you're like, you know, you're living it. You're seeing it in front of your eyes as you're describing it to the players. And that's one of those things that, for sure, even if I'm not conscious of it all the time, that definitely drives that vision.
So, Bob, how did you get started? Because I remember when we were kids, mm-hmm. mom and dad had a friend, mm-hmm. and I remember that they were – okay, that's the guy's name. Because he had that weird haircut and that creepy molestache.
And he owned a game store in downtown St. Louis. And he had a sand table. Remember, and by the way,
I do remember the sand table.
Whether it's this time or not, there, Dan and Chad, you need to be rebutted on your War Games episode. Because, I mean, I love your role playing advice. I listen to it all the time. But you're, to say it nicely, behind the times on wargaming and what's available and what modeling options there are and so on and so forth. But that can be later or another time. Or you can just tell me to F off. That's your call.
Well, you know, you can f*** off. But I don't care.
Well, here's the thing. I'll just tell you that as a matter of course.
It's kind of a self-proving statement, or your statement kind of proves what we said. Because the fact that our knowledge...
I don't even remember what we said.
Well, one of the things we said was that they're constantly turning everything over to basically shake you down for cash. So if our knowledge is that outdated and everything's turned over...
You're arguing that you're right. You're just further proving your ignorance. But again, let's David.
Oh, no. Okay, wait. Now you can.
So David House game store sand table.
Yeah, the sand table, and he had this amazing collection of miniatures, right? And I remember he kept them all in those little gray plastic frames with the white plastic drawers, you know. And
what was the store called?
I don't remember, man. I really don't. I don't even know.
We were all over St. Louis, and we very well could have visited it back at that time.
Right. Well, I mean, but I was a kid, right? I mean, I was 10, maybe. You know, so this would have been, you know, 79. I don't know what.
Oh, 79?
Yeah, I'm 47. Oh,
no, I was 3.
Yeah, so you probably weren't all from St. Louis at that time. So, I got really into that. But the father, he was really into fine scale modeling, right? So David takes me down to this basement, and we play some miniatures, and it's really, really amazing. And he's doing chainmail, right?
Was this on Hampton?
That would be the hobby shop.
The hobby
shop. That was Ken.
Yeah.
That was Ken.
Oh, okay.
Different guy.
Yeah, but
maybe same shop?
And he's got chainmail, he's got miniatures, and he's got all those old Ralpartha lead figs, right, which at the time were, which are still some of the best figs out there. That old 79 Tom Meyer Ralpartha is just some of the gems.
That's some real lead, too. I mean, you could lick that. That's when miniatures tasted
good. That was when it was made out of chewy metals.
Right. That's when you get a pack of 10 and you just eat every third one as your pain numb.
Exactly. Or you just kind of chew on one and have little spittoons next to you.
As much as I shoot and as many miniatures, metal miniatures as I've done, if lead was going to poison somebody, I'd be the guy. And my doctor
it's a conspiracy.
Well, I'm not saying it's a conspiracy. I'm just saying that these kinds of things, shooting a handgun and working on a lead model, they are not going to get you the infection and these, because I've been tested, right? Because I get severe migraines or migraines, and so there was suspicion at one point on my part.
Wait, or migraines?
Oh, sorry. Probably Bruder's told you about my time in Africa, and so that's how they say migraine there. They say everything different, and I still occasionally use both words. Like I might struck a baki or whatever, so it happens.
Yeah. Migraine's a new one for me, too. But.
I was assuming like a lead flake had broken free and gotten into the language centers of his brain or something.
Right.
So, awesome.
So I get really into these little miniatures, right? I'm really into this. This is the thing I want to do, right? So, I mean, God bless him. You know, he was who he was. And he wanted to indulge my interest, the father, he wanted to indulge the interest, but he didn't necessarily, I think, get or want to be a part of this other thing, right? And so his focus was... He took me to the hobby store. He's like, oh, you're interested in these metals? Check out these 1/35 scale models, right? So I made some Africa Corps, Desert German, 1/35 scale kits, and I made a tank or whatever, and that was kind of where it was at. But even in the process of going to the store, this was the one over on Manchester there, right next to that old bike shop, right near Manchester and 40, right by West County Mall. It would be on the north side of Manchester there. There was old strip mall, and there was this cool old hobby shop there. And they did mostly plastic kits and train stuff, but they also carried, D&D stuff. So we kept going in to get model kits to kind of feed this interest, and I wouldn't look away. I continued to focus on the lead figures, and when I got some lawn mowing money, I went and I got the I think the first module there, besides of course Keep on the Borderland, and then I got Against the Cult of the Reptile Gods, which I would still, I mean, that more than almost anything has probably influenced my GM style for 35 years now. You know, I mean, that's
So that's how I got started gaming. And, you know, it's just whoever I could. And it wasn't until I got to high school and met my, you know, my high school gaming buddies, one of which I still game with to this very day, you know, from sophomore in high school to age 47 and 48, we still game together, you know, so that's how that started. It's not that great of a story, but there.
So your path to gaming basically consists of two things. Lead and Nazis.
Yeah. And for you in large quantities. Yeah.
and it ends with you putting your mom through a wall.
But interestingly enough, lead and Nazis, it's the path he's still on.
Yeah.
With all the World War II gaming
My thing is very much that's my jam is Weird War II. So that's what my role playing campaign is setting. That's where most of my model projects are right now. Nazi werewolves and all that kind of stuff. Mm. Of course, being killed by priests and commandos and Tibetan monks and all that, and Captain America and all that stuff, which is what the protagonists are.
It's amazing. It's really
amazing.
It
does sound fun. I'd play this game. That sounds awesome. Game.
And it's been fun to balance, you know, role playing with, I mean, it's a miniature battle game, right? But we do a lot of role playing, right? There's a lot of mysteries going on. There's the cliche of the civilians you've got to protect. And I think some of the best role playing has come because the troops, right? So I'm using Savage Worlds, which I know you guys hate or whatever, and that's fine. I think it's wrong. But
you'd be wrong, but that's cool.
Yeah, I'm not as wrong about Savage Worlds as you are about miniature gaming, but that's a whole other context.
Because they've completely turned over the product. So you'd have to rebuy everything, but it'd be completely better. No.
1979, he is still using the same figs, same rules. He just gets an errata every now and again. It's
for $1,500, you can have the easiest, most clean miniature experience
for the next 3 years. Oh, yeah. You are set for
$1,500. For $45, you could play in Frostgrave forever. Right, for $45, if your thing is you want to do miniatures cheap and you don't want to worry about modeling, for $45, maybe $50, depending on taxes and import fees and all that kind of shit, you could be getting, you know, North Star Miniatures, Frostgrave, a box of their troopers, and one wizard and one apprentice, which come together in a blister pack for like $10. The metal figs don't require any assembly. The trooper figs are plastic sprues, so you don't have to do any pinning. They're quality sprues, so you don't have to do much flash removal. You use plastic model grid, glue them together, and you get 20. You need 8. So you've got all those options that you're so worried about with your Necromunda. All that's in there. This hobby has left you guys behind, which is fine. You can be left behind. I feel for your listeners who've been given ignorant information. It's sad for them, and they deserve the truth.
No, you don't understand. We say it. It becomes the truth.
There is an ontological quality to Fear the Boot.
We actually have to be very careful about what we say. Not for any kind of veracity reasons, but because we...
Did you know?
Right.
No bullshit.
I know. You are talking to Da Vinci. Because one of your hosts referred to me as the Da Vinci of gaming on your podcast.
Pre him being a host.
Yeah. But undisputed expert on this topic.
Look, that was pre him being a host.
That's not post? Correct. It was post me being a host.
Oh, I blame that on the lead poisoning.
Brodor, I want to give you a warning about the power that comes with podcasting. Did you know it actually was the Berenstain Bears until we accidentally mispronounced it on the show as the Berenstain Bears, and now it is completely rewritten history. There was no alternate universe. We screwed up.
Didn't you read the pamphlet we gave you?
No, there was no pamphlet.
Oh my god, the danger.
Oh jeez. Oh.
Good times.
Okay,
so somewhere out there, there is a meme of Susan Sarandon being struck in the back of the head with a 2x4 and her eyes coming out slightly.
I image searched the daughter. Yeah, no, she's a decent looking girl. It's hard to argue.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, she is. She's a pretty girl. Mm-hmm.
So how did you get this guy into gaming?
Well, he just had to game. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he had
enough lead and you're good to go.
You know, right. And I'm seeing it with my own sons, with his nephews. You know, what the oldest does, the younger ones want to do. It's just, it's just a thing, right? And eventually it wears off, you know. But eventually, you know, when, because my gaming's been funny. I've gamed with a lot of people and I've been in a lot of campaigns, but I'm weird in this sense. My heart is with one group, right? One of them's a high school friend. The rest were friends from freshman year of college in 1987, and we've gamed together forever, right? And so, I mean, we've gamed together since 1987, simple as that. Damn close to 30 years. We play together, and we play together when we can. So if I'm in Africa, we play once every 18 months. If I'm here, we play once every 6-8 weeks, right? Well, when 3E came out, we'd been on a long lull, several years, and we got back together, right? 3.0 comes out. We're like, this is a thing. We're going to do this. And it worked like gangbusters. It was a great deal. And for that game, we invited Brodeur, right? So we wanted to add a player, and he was the one we added for obvious reasons. I had a bias because I was the DM, and I just, my brother's coming, simple as that. And of course, it worked like nothing. It was beautiful. He's a great fit and all that. So that's kind of how we game together now.
But so you got to wait. So he got started on gaming when 3E was released?
No.
I restarted. I was back Blue Box, right? I mean, I was playing Warhammer when Toughness
No, but I, no, I mean, you're, I mean, Brodeur, not you.
So when I was a kid, and these are not my proudest moments, but so when Bob would be off gaming, and basically I got exposed at the same time with this David Housecat. I just remember his really bad haircut and his creepy molestache.
Yeah.
But we were at our house in Salem, and I remember I was sitting on the incubator's lap, and they were playing Dungeons and Dragons at the table, right? I remember Molestache reading from the module and talking about the monsters. And I remember there was this flesh golem, like Frankenstein's monsters thing. And I remember, I mean, I practically shit myself. I was so terrified. It gave me it gave me nightmares thinking about this creature existing. And I was like, what if Bob was 7 or Bob was 10, you know, then I was 4, right? So I was just ensorcelled by all of it and been really fascinated by the whole escapism ever since. Well, fast forward a few years, we're living in O'Fallon. Our parents are divorced. Bob's getting really into gaming with his buddies. And then so I start getting exposed to the books, and me and my best friend at the time, this guy Travis, we would go to the bowling alley with his grandmother, right? And because he lived with his grandparents, because he had his own messed up issues with his family.
Right.
Anyway, she would take us to the bowling alley. We would leave the bowling alley and the one that the Cave Springs Lane was, right? Uh-huh. And there used to be a Target down there. And next to the Target, or that was across the highway, excuse me, where EPC is now. And this is very interesting for the listeners. Anyway, there was a Walden Books. And Travis and I would go to Walden Books, and we didn't have income. We didn't have lawn mowing money, what have you. So we would boost D&D stuff, right?
So I wasn't even about to say, so you shoplifted.
That's how I got.
I wish I could say I'd never done that. But
and that's how I got into D&D. That's how I started getting my first books and my first modules, is that it was all done in petty theft.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Travis and I would just play the two of us, I know is a really sad
so
thing.
So what we have here, years later, you had to run your own store and deal with people stealing D&D stuff
so
from you.
Basically this starts off
my penance.
This starts off with lead Nazism, leads to law breaking theft, eventually morphs into putting mom through a wall, but all the stereotypes and the satanic panic about D&D is wrong.
No,
we are not a good test case for that.
So whatever it is you have to say about our wargaming, I think you have a lot more to work out in your own ethos of gaming.
Well, no, but seriously, I imagine this is true for my brother as well. I mean, coming, and I know there's people with worse backgrounds than us, and most of them have been on the news. But, you know, I would have been into drugs, or I would have, you know, taken myself out or let myself just do something so utterly stupid that I'd taken myself out. And I imagine that that's not too far from truth in that other case with my brother as well. I mean, it's for all the talk. I mean, if you want to be serious about gaming, I mean, I would say, and I wouldn't be where I am. I mean, my career, such as it is, and I'm doing okay, I wouldn't be where I am. I wouldn't have the confidence to run a meeting on a $1 billion project if I hadn't had 30 years of DMing. You know, I mean, it's powerful. I mean, it's been a huge influence in my life.
And that's something that I want to say about gaming that I don't think is something we've talked about in some time. A lot of times people critique gaming as being pure escapism, but I don't think, even if you take it that that's true, I don't think that's entirely a bad thing, because sometimes you're in a situation in your life, whether it's something momentary, like you're just going through a rough spot in life, or it's a much longer term and more difficult to escape situation, like an abusive household, that escapism can be healthy.
Absolutely.
You know, putting yourself, I'm assuming you don't call a black leaf on it, you know, putting yourself somewhere else, being someone else, there's nothing unhealthy about that. I mean, once again, assuming you don't take this to some absurd extreme.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, I mean, I'd say in our cases, and probably in all four of our cases, right, we haven't. We're all normal people. We're, you know, married, and we've got all whatever problems we may have, but we have jobs and normal lives, and we're able to speak intelligently into a microphone over the internet for the whole world to hear. I mean, clearly, we have not gone too far from wrong.
Right. It's absolutely true. I mean, I used to joke, but not really joke, that, you know, when I was talking to other managers, you know, other people who ran retail locations, and I would say, you know, what we do is a hobby is an important part of what we do as a business, not because it's the product that we sell, but the skills that we learn from these games are skills that we're going to utilize in our businesses, you know, managing resources, looking for good opportunities to improve, looking for ways to game the system, if you will. But most importantly, I would tell people, look, everything, not everything, but a lot of what I have learned about managing people, I've learned from game mastering. I've learned from actually trying to facilitate storytelling with a group of people who all have distinct personalities, who have distinct interests, who have unique motivations, and getting them to work together for the group to profit.
Compromising, anticipating right. objection. Right. Yeah, there's a whole right. slew of skills, interpersonal skills that you develop from game mastering, absolutely.
Right. And I think Bob's
players are largely sociopaths, but
but Bob's absolutely right. I mean, if it weren't for gaming and the relationships that I forged through gaming, I probably would have made a lot worse decisions and had worse relationships, you know, and hung out with even worse groups of people if I had not had that outlet.
Yeah.
And now you've got your real friends.
And now I have my real friends.
Okay, what's that thing?
So, this son of a gun,
Oh, now you censor yourself. Now you censor yourself.
You know, because I can motherfuck anybody, but he's my brother. I guess well, I should be the only buddy.
The story of me doing something really awesome for him. So,
yeah.
But, yeah.
He'll let him elaborate, because I'm sure he'll want to. But essentially, he has got this whole thing about how they're not my real friends. And essentially, I only come to that game with them and hang out with them when it's convenient and I don't have anything else going on with my quote-unquote real friends.
Right. And this all came to a head because when I was in Africa, I came back for Gen Con 13, right?
Right.
And I'd made arrangements for the gaming group that I've described to you to meet me there, right? And of course, Broder was invited as well. But when I told him about this plan, when I told everybody else about the plan, they were like, oh, yeah, we're absolutely in. This is going to be great, blah, blah, blah. When I told him about the plan, it was all like, oh, gee, I was supposed to be going with somebody else. For all I know, it may have been you two, right? And so and we already had kind of been on the real friend thing, right? So, of course, he ends up going with us, which was great. That was really one of the best times in my life, man. I mean, that was a really – it just couldn't have been a better trip. I mean, especially considering the flight I'd went through to get there. And I mean, that was a high risk thing to take those days off work and fly back to go to the show, which you know how that show can be. Anyway, so the whole car ride there and the whole time there, it was all everybody. There was a total of six of us there, and five of us were riding the real friend thing. And if he was gone for 10 minutes, if he went to go buy a blanket hot dog in the dealer's area, we're all like, oh, did you see one of your real friends? I mean, we just wouldn't let it go. It was fun, man. It was a really good time, and it remains a good time, even now as I tell the story to you, at least for me.
It's excruciating. It's excruciating.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, too, when Bob was talking about how our childhoods were bad and we understand that other people had them worse, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I look back and go, you know, I know a lot of people had it way worse than I did, you know, because nobody ever put anything in my butt.
True. Not without you asking.
Wow.
Yeah. On that note.
Yeah. You know, it's all jokes aside, it is very, very hard, obviously, to compare the very subjective experiences of abuse.
Yeah. It is.
You know, and there's been some debate about in terms of the long-term damage between the three, which is worse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, or sexual abuse. And obviously none of them are good. None of them are enviable. I know entirely too many people that have been through some form of abuse at some point in their life, whether as a child or as an adult. I have my own stories, many of which I don't care to tell on the show, but I have my own stories. And in the end of the day, I don't think there's really any profit to be gained from trying to.
Pain is not a competition.
Exactly. And I don't. Certainly not. And I've had people try to one up me like that. And it's like, I don't think you understand. I'm not playing a game here.
Yeah.
It's this happened to me and it damaged me and it sucked. And you had something happen to you that damaged you and it sucked. Which one of us got damaged worse and why is really not a thing.
Yeah. Does it matter?
Yeah. I, you know, the only thing that I can say here, I'm going to put some kind of a useful spin on all these stories that are so horrible. We're just sitting here laughing about them.
Oh, they're funny.
Is what sucks about being an abused child is you don't know how to cope with it.
No.
You may not understand it's
wrong.
Well,
that's why it's so horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, if I decide to start beating up Brodor here for no reason.
You're bigger than me, dude. I'm going to have to practice my stabbing. Yeah. I'm just letting you know. I mean,
exactly.
But as an adult, and there's, well, you are physically and emotionally capable of defending yourself.
Sure.
Again, not just on a physical level, but on an emotional level.
Well, and he also has the perspective that it's not right.
Right.
He knows it's not right. It's not normal. He has recourse against it. You know, he can resist you physically. He can resist you legally. Mm-hmm. And I realize there are some people, even as adults, that are in a state of such emotional abuse.
There's abusive relationships.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about.
We're talking about child abuse specifically here. But with children, oftentimes they don't even understand the situation is wrong.
Right.
They just much less, even if they do realize it's wrong, understand that the recourses they have to go to one of the. I assume these are in other states, at least Missouri. We have these things called safe places,
safe houses, or whatever they're called.
Yeah, and that have these yellow signs on them, and you go there, and they're equipped to know how to call the police or Department of Social Services or something to get you out of that situation. I mean, not that the system's a great place to be, but
better than nothing.
It's better than getting the beat up and all these other horrible things. But you know, kids don't know that, and so it's really in so many ways on the adults that are in the periphery of those situations. If you see something, say something, you know, because if you don't get involved, if you see it's going on and you don't do anything to stop that. And, you know, that for my own life, that's one of the things that I really hold a certain amount of bitterness over is the number of people that saw what was going on. And did nothing about it.
See, I'm completely with you. That's one of the things that has always really, really irked me is that nobody, I mean, people were aware. It was obvious, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't important enough for them to stick their nose in it.
Yeah. Or they don't want to get involved in it or whatever. And effectively, you're condemning that person to that life. I mean, because they don't know any other recourse. They don't have any other recourse. And so I don't know. I mean, I don't have perfect answers to this. Fear the Boot's really, you know, not equipped as a show or we as hosts to deal with this kind of stuff.
So here's what we're equipped for. We're equipped to do the drive-by. We're equipped to come into your workspace or your automobile and rip this scab off, make light of your pain, and then walk away because we're not capable of actually helping you deal with these issues that we've highlighted for the last hour.
Well, let me just say, I'm only making light of my pain and to some degree my brother's. And I kind of made a quip about being on the news, but I don't compare my story to anybody but mine. I get it, and everybody's got their own thing and their own way of dealing, and everybody's got some sort of issue, even if it's that their parents were too nice to them, and that in itself. And I'm not being sarcastic or glib. I know people can't tell with me, but you're 100% right there, Dan. I mean, I'm not judging myself or holding myself up as I was abused more than you or whatever like that. No, certainly not.
Yeah, we're just making light of it.
Yeah, I'm laughing about it, though, for sure, because it's hilarious. Now, because it has to be. I mean, what else do you do? I mean, do you hate yourself? Do you blame yourself? I mean, no, it's funny.
So as much as we got it as kids from our mother, mm-hmm. boy, we used to kick the crap out of each other.
It was terrible. it was terrible. Because that's all
we
did.
So much blood. I remember once we were in the backyard when we lived on Danny Lane in O'Fallon. It was 502 Danny Lane. Or was it 504? Oh, you were, right? But I remember there was one moment. We were in the backyard and we were fighting about something. And I grabbed this log and I chased you down. And I hit you in the lower back with it. And I was expecting to have some sort of success, right? But all it did was piss him off. Right. I've never run faster in my life. I was terrified that he was going to kill me.
Like I said, at that point, I probably did have migraines. I think they came on at like 14, 15. Right. And that did not help having extreme heat and understanding your head. Yeah, no, we were terrible because it would work out like this, right? You know, the parents hated each other, so they would yell at each other and treat each other like crap. And then, you know, the incubator would go after one of the boys as a surrogate for the husband. And then the father would go after his daughter as a surrogate for the wife. And then the three of us would go after each other as surrogates for them. It was awful.
It was amazing.
See, I can't relate to any of that.
I can relate. Well,
I'm an only child. So the idea of two siblings and then they just beat the shit out of each other. I'm like, why?
Okay.
Like, why does that happen?
There is one thing. All right. So even if I don't talk about abuse or any of that stuff, there is certainly one thing in all of this that I can absolutely relate to, which is I very much have the same dark sense of humor that you guys do because you take a look at the world and it's just so screwed up that you really have one of three choices. You completely ignore it or tune out a large portion of it. You look at it and you get really, really angry. You start to drive yourself nuts. You watch the news and you just slowly go insane. And I know people like this where they need to turn off the news. They need to be less aware of what's going on. Or you just take a look at it and you just start laughing. Yeah. And not because anything's funny, but because it is all so screwed up that somehow it just becomes hideously funny. And that's where I am. Is the things that we're laughing about here, they're not funny, but they're hilarious at the same time because I have gotten so broken by, I mean, there just comes a point where you just see so much screwed up stuff in life that at some point you just have to stop and start laughing. And I don't know. That's just how my brain has sorted it out. So anyone's hearing this, please don't think we're making light of this. We're talking about our own pain, our own suffering. It's absolutely not funny. But well, at the same time, it's hilarious.
Well, these guys are making light of their pain. I went to space camp as a kid.
So. I went to Space Academy. It was a step off from space camp.
I went to Space Academy. But the thing is, I went to Space Academy too. But when you tell people you went to Space Academy, they don't know what the f*** you're talking about.
So you say Space Camp.
You say Space Camp.
Yeah, all right.
Because they've seen the movie.
Okay, so next episode when we come back, we have some gaming topics we're going to talk about. We've actually got a bunch of gaming topics on tap, talking about game design, talking about...
Are we?
Yeah.
Again? Didn't we do that 10 years ago or something?
No. It's not a game design series.
Did game design change?
I think that after 10 years, you can revisit it. But it's been a decade.
We are not redoing the game design series.
It's just, I don't know. Maybe we should. Now I'm buying into it. Maybe we should revisit the game design series.
Before
you sign off, can I make a quick shout-out to a buddy's local business? It's a gaming
Okay, go ahead.
I want to just shout-out for the DGS Games. They're a miniature company, American-made. They've got a Kickstarter going on right now for their dinosaur riding, sun worshiping, you know, legionnaires, and it's pretty badass looking. They're a local company.
Are there any Nazis?
No Nazis. No, it's all fantasy. Knives. It's original IP, American made company. The local guys are really good guys. They've got a great game. It's called DGS Games, and then also Tabletop Game and Hobby here in Overland Park, Kansas is a great.
Oh, that was two plugs.
I stuck it in there. I'm that guy.
I will say this as a former retailer. I can say that Tabletop Games in Kansas City, Phil Kilgore's shop, is the best game store I've ever been to.
All right. Well, I will put a link to thank Broder the Eldor for giving us his time. I will put a link to both the Kickstarter and also to that game shop in Overland, Kansas.
Yeah, it's Tabletop in Kansas City.
So I will put a link to both of those in the show notes for anyone who's interested in the Kickstarter or who lives in that area of Kansas and wants to go check that game
now,
store
what's
out.
This about us revisiting the game design series?
We're not we're not doing that.
You could have Bob back and talk about doing miniature game design.
No. Yes, a whole series on it. Yeah. Like getting a lot of lead, smelting it down,
turning it into Nazis.
Yes. Amazing. Great. Bias and ignorance.
You basically just get a cubic yard of green stuff and a scalpel.
I could see Bob showing up to a 40K tournament and everybody has their army out.
You guys are completely wrong.
He throws down a 3 foot long, 150 pound lead or iron cross. Just boom, just lays it on the table. Yeah. That's his army.
You guys are completely wrong. This is not that hard. You see this general right here. It only took me 3 years of a few $1,000 to make him.
Oh.
And I can't use it.
Yeah.
And I can't use him.
This is amazing.
And I can't use him in the current edition of the rules.
But you know what? Only young idiots play the new edition. We play the classic nerd edition from 1862.
It's like the McLaughlin group. This is amazing.
But all right.
Just name that idiot on InfoWars. He's hilarious.
Alex Jones. I try to avoid politics. But this is just so absurd. I'm putting an Alex Jones link in the show notes.
There it is, Alex Jones. Thank you. Yes, I know the truth, and you guys are so wrong.
I'm putting an Alex Jones link in the show notes. That is freaking hilarious. Johnny G said he turned it into his ringtone for a while. That's so absurd.
Speaking of Alex Jones, did you know that the Bohemian Grove is responsible for Antonin Scalia's death? Because you know I love my conspiracy theories, and I love some Bohemian Grove.
Check the show notes. I'm going to put his best conspiracy theory. It was so good. God. John made it his ringtone. But no, Chad, we're not going back to the design series. There's just one aspect of game design I want to talk about. We're going to talk about some stuff with the social dynamics of gaming groups. We got all kinds of gaming topics on tap for a week when I'm not recovering from vacation. But anyway.
Or coming down from all that cocaine.
Yeah, all that blow I did. So, Broder the Elder, thank you for joining us. It was actually horrible hearing your stories.
It was disturbing and amazing.
But still, thank you for joining us. And as for the rest of you guys, have a great week and great games, and we will catch you next time.
See ya.